I have arrived here from the ghetto myself. Thank you very much. I'm here on the exchange program. Y'all can imagine what they sent over there. People always ask me about the ghetto. People ask me, hey, Jim, how can y'all live in the ghetto with all those cockroaches and everything like that? I think cockroaches are probably the cleanest animals on earth. Really, because every time you see them, they're in a bathtub. Dig this. Little old lady's walking down the street. She falls down. And in the great Yule time tradition, she laid there for a full 5 minutes before somebody snatched her pocketbook.
All right, it's Dave Plyer on 720 WTN. Legendary actor and comedian Jimmy Walker has a new upcoming stand-up special with Michael Winslow called We're Still Here, debuting on Tuesday, August 7th on Amazon, Comcast, DirecTV, AT&T, Dish, Spectrum, iTunes, Charter, Google Play, and many other platforms. The new album complementing the new special will be released on Friday, August 10th. He rose to fame on the stand-up circuit, 5 seasons on Norman Lear's Good Times, and radio runs through his blood. And to talk about it all, Jimmy Walker joins us tonight. Welcome in, Jimmy.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Oh, not busy. Never busy for you, sir. Absolutely not. Nice to have you with us. Very excited about this new special. Tell us a little bit about what's happening.
Well, you know, Brian Folk's wife, the guy who's producing, we've been trying to get a special with him or his partner there, Scott Montoya, for about 10 years. And they do specials in big clumps, bulk specials. So what happened was they had this their schedule all set up to do, you know, another bulk of 10 people, and some people dropped out. And, and then people kept dropping out. So I kind of fell to it, and because of my old Carson days, you know, when I was doing the Johnny Carsons and all that kind of stuff, the Merv Griffins and Mike Douglas's, I always stay ready. So I was totally prepared to do a special. We're not even doing like a full special. This is only a half hour. We probably have another, oh, heck, darn it, another hour and a half of stuff. But we always stay ready.
I love it. That's cool. That's very cool. And you're going to be all over, I mean, every digital platform, quite frankly. I mean, that's pretty cool.
We'll see if anybody takes time out to take a look at it. We'll see.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, you know, and stand-up, Jimmy, has been such a big part of your life for over 50 years. But, you know, and I've read your book, too.
Oh, thank you. That's important. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Well, radio runs through your blood. I mean, you've been doing radio on and off for decades.
Decades. I kind of quasi started in radio back in New York. For a brief period of time, I worked at LS there, your rival.
Yep.
You know, so radio is great. I love talk. And we'll see what happens, you know. You listen to Talkers Magazine, you never know.
That's right. That's right.
Michael Harrison, you don't know what he's going to say next.
I love it. I love it. Well, you know, and looking back, you know, at stand-up and really when you first started, you know, legendary comedian Dick Gregory used to come on the Merv Griffin show all the time, and he had a book out that you read cover to cover, and it kind of really inspired you to pursue comedy and say to yourself, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah, Dick Gregory, who's actually a Chicago native, well, yep. St. Louis native, but spent a lot of time
Midwest.
In Chicago.
Yep.
And Dick's book, which is the N-word, you can't say it anymore now. In those days, you could. Dick's book was just excellent. It's really actually one of the rare first books that I ever read in my life.
Yep.
So I read it from cover to cover, and Dick was a major influence on me. Unfortunately, he just passed away about a year and a half ago.
Yep, yep.
And I think, you know, comedy since then has changed drastically. I'm actually, I appreciate you, oh, heck darn it, reading my book, because you're the one, I guess, who read it.
Yeah, it was just me.
Just you. You're the only one. We have like probably have 5,000 stacked up in my garage.
Oh, boy.
But it's like 409,999. I go, hey, some guy in Chicago read it. All right. We got rid of one.
You got rid of one. It was me.
But I'm actually writing a new book now, which is really reflects a lot on society. And what it is about the Great American Divide. That's the name of the book.
Yeah.
There's a Great American Divide and dash, dash, dash comedy. And comedy has divided our country. So I think when people are looking for answers to our social ills, we can look directly toward comedy.
And honestly, that's the one place that should be a little more sacred, because we're, you know, out there to make people laugh and entertain, and people take everything the wrong way now. So, I mean, it's just so difficult to even tell a joke to somebody these days.
I think we're at a point now, you know, comedy is divided into racial, woman, sexual things, where when I started, you know, if you saw Flip Wilson, I saw Flip Wilson. If you saw Alan King, I saw Alan King. That's no longer the case today. It's all changed drastically, and it's changed to the point that we're divided racially. Mel Brooks said, had a great line. He said, "Funny is funny." Well, funny isn't funny anymore.
Yeah.
Because Jim Gaffigan funny is much different than Cat Williams funny.
Yeah.
So more funny is much different than Amy Schumer funny.
Yeah. But, you know, even, you know, you talk about different comedians kind of for different people. Very early on, you were kind of, and you've said this before, you were kind of the angry black guy thing. And at some point, you know, you had people around you that said, you know, we got to make you a little bit more mainstream so we can get you on some other shows. And I know at some point, late comedian David Brenner became kind of a mentor for you. How did you know David, and how did that all come together?
David Brenner is like my big brother.
Yeah.
So he, obviously Jewish, says, you know, Jews have gone through at least as much as black people. And he showed me the way to try to become more commercial. As it stands now, I'm not an urban comedian. It's funny because when owners see me, they think I'm going to be urban, and I'm not. You know, I always call myself the Johnny Mathis of black comedians. So,
well, I mean, watching you on Letterman for years, I mean, and watching you do stand up there, I certainly never felt that way. I mean, to me, comedy's comedy. You know,
it used to be, but it's not. I think the minority comics get away with much more than the white comics. A perfect example, if you watch any urban comic, any black comic or any Hispanic comic, there will always be a line in there to go, you know, white people are so stupid, or white people have credit, or white people this or that. Now, okay, we have that premise, and that always gets a laugh whenever anybody does. But let's say Jeff Foxworthy got on and says, you know, I hate black people. Private jet's gone. No more private school for his kids.
Oh, yeah.
It's all over.
Oh, yeah.
So urban comics can get away with that, whereas white comics can't. And that's why you probably won't see any, you know, except for on the Trump thing. And now we've gotten onto this bag, you know, except for the Trump thing, you won't see many cutting edge white comics if they don't have the subjects to deal with.
No, they're afraid. I mean, honestly, it's become a point of afraid of just losing everything. And that's a shame. You were mentioning Mel Brooks, what he had said about the funny. You know, he's also said that political correctness has killed comedy.
Well, speaking of Mel, you could never do Blazing Saddles
today.
That would never even fly. I'm going to a thing in the next week or so for Norman Lear. And he's a guy who I think Norman would have the guts to do what he does, but I'm not sure that the networks would fly with an All in the Family or anything like that. Our society is very divided, and it's strange because I've said it in my new book that will sell maybe a half a copy.
I'll buy it. I'll get it. I'll pick it up.
it's we live in parallel universes.
Yeah.
You know, if you walk out there on Mish Ave, where you guys are, you will see minorities walking around, but you won't see the relate of people. People don't relate to each other anymore. By this, I mean, you can go to your favorite spot after 8 o'clock on Mish Ave. Like, you got minorities working there at GN, whatever, and you guys talk and whatever. But after 8 o'clock, you will see no hanging out. And by that, I mean, go into any bar, see how many times you see a white guy, black guy, Hispanic guy, just hanging out, friends. You won't see it. It just, we're not friends, and that's just the way it is. You know, you'll see interracial couples, but you'll never see the majority of people, and you guys are big Bear fans and the whole deal there. And all week long at the station, you talk about the Bears and everything. But on Sunday, when you go to watch the Bears, you will not see people of different likes, different kinds, hanging out together. And then on Monday, you'll come back and you'll talk about how the Bears lost and why Mr. Trubisky stinks or whatever. But you will never hang out together. And that's what I'm saying. We just aren't friends. We don't relate to each other. Only at work. That's the only time. And that's the law. You know, you have to have a certain amount of minorities hang out together at work because it's the law. You got to have, you know, your number, whatever. Otherwise, human resources goes berserk.
I think that might be true. I think that might be true of some people, probably not all. But, I mean, you also look back to...
It's never all, but it's the majority.
Yeah.
You know, and by that I mean 80 to 85%. And I would dare your crowd to say, because you're talk, so you won't have a heavy minority audience at GN. But I dare your crowd to say, let me be able to call somebody of another race right now, and let's go, you know, have a drink tonight at 8 o'clock. Let's see how many can do that.
But do you think that is...
It's on both sides.
But do you think that's come full circle? Because, I mean, okay, when you started in the business in the 60s and early 70s, it might have been that way. I think it evolved over time. I mean, do you think then now, because of what's happening politically, like it just has all snapped back almost 40, 50 years ago? I mean, is that kind of what you're saying?
I think that in the 60s, people actually sought people out. People sought people out because you were supposed to, you know, people wanted to hang out with different likes. That was the first time actually on basically on an equal level that we all got together. Because, and that was led, quite honestly, by white people, the Joan Baez's and those kind of people like that. And then people want, and the Vietnam War was a major contention at that time, back when I started. And that, as strange as it sounds, united people.
Well, and you mentioned you're doing something with Norman Lear. Do you think some of the, I mean, think about the All in the Families, think about the Good Times and all that other stuff. You know, he's rebooted One Day at a Time with a Hispanic cast. It's been very successful. But do you think that you could put on an All in the Family today or a Good Times today, for that matter?
I think an All in the Family would not work at all.
Yeah.
You know, they tried it again with the Jerry Carmichael show, in a black cast with David Allen Greer.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And it didn't work whatsoever. I think people are too sensitive about everything. I mean, everything offends somebody. And it makes comedy very, very difficult with the whole deal. I mean, you look at the Big Bang Theory or something like that. You have to be that generic nowadays. Mm-hmm. And I love Big Bang. I think Jim Parsons, every year for me, deserves an Emmy for carrying that show. I love his work. Reminds me a lot of myself.
It does remind me of your role. Okay, I was going to say that. His what he does and what he contributes to that show is kind of how I saw your contribution to Good Times. And you got a lot of crap for what you did on Good Times from even your cast members of how you approached it.
I think that we took an unbelievable amount of heat, you know, for whatever. I never really understood it. I never really got it. But what it did was it eliminated ethnic shows for 10 years.
It did. Okay.
Because the networks did not want to do any ethnic shows.
Yeah,
they'll do dramas now, but comedy they won't do really because they're afraid to offend people. And it's been generational. You know, Cosby, when he did his show, which was excellent, he wanted to do it as the Honeymooners.
Yeah,
and it was 10 years after our show, and the network said absolutely not, because minorities are going to be offended that they're not rich black people. So they made them as out of touch with what black lives are as possible. I'm sure there's some minorities who are like the Cosbys, but that's not the majority.
Well, even
and now they're doing now. My line has always been, because of our show, you will never see a poor black family ever again in a sitcom on TV. Ever again.
And let me tell you, that show was nominated for Emmys, Golden Globes. You won an Emmy for your role.
Yes,
I mean, so think about that. I mean, you were honored for what you did back in the 70s.
Well, We won things there, and we actually won a BET award, which I would never be. They would never invite me ever again to their their thing, Black Entertainment Television. But I think that we're so sensitive, and like I said, I think we're coming to the end of our society as we knew it and as we know it, and it's going to be it's becoming worster and worster. And I think even in the political vein, the civility is unbelievably negative. I mean, I don't care where your political belief, whether you're Trump or whatever the hell it is, but when you see that Sarah Huckabee Sanders can't go out to eat, that's ridiculous. When you see people not even criticize Maxine Waters for saying, go get anybody you can from the Trump administration. I think that's out of line. You can say, I disagree with you, I don't agree, and you bring your points up. Even my girl Whoopi Goldberg, and I love Whoopi, she's fabulous. I mean, if she doesn't agree with Jeanine Pirro, fine. You know, she can say it in a debate form, which they're in that form every day. But the treatment was a little rough there. You know, you can say, I disagree with everything you say, and here's why I disagree with it. It's terrible, it's stupid. It's okay, fine, no big deal. But I think civility has left our society just out of whack.
Yeah.
And I think it's getting more worser and worser by the minute.
Yeah. And how do you get that back? I mean, you almost have to avoid the conversation. I hate to say it, but I know politically where I stand. I know politically where friends stand. I won't even talk about it with them because I just want to go out to dinner and enjoy each other's company and have a good time. You almost got to steer clear if you're going to have a normal conversation with somebody.
Yeah, I think that we're really at that point where people like me, I have 3 TVs in my room, and you know, when I go to the hotel, I try to get 3 TVs. And what it is, it's getting to a point that you watch the same story being covered by the 3 networks, and the difference is daunting. It's it's covered so differently now. And it's just amazing.
It's not news, but it's not news anymore. It's entertainment. Like, where are you going to go to find just the facts? It's a tough place. It's a tough place to find something like that, where you're just looking for factual information without infiltrated with opinion.
I also think, unfortunately, and this is going to sound awful, we're part of the problem. We're part of the problem too. Because there may be, and this is going to sound awful because you're on the air, and I love to be on the air when I get the shot. There may be too much media, because anybody with any sort of whatever can just post anything they want and start a Twitter war, and it starts. We didn't have that 40 or 50 years ago.
No.
And it could be, and I know this is going to sound sacrilegious, it could be a possibility of too much media. And I'm not talking about the ABCs, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, Fox, CNN. I'm talking about just the network kind of malaise that's happening out there. Yeah. It's unbelievable in social media. I mean, it's become hellish, actually, social media. Too much.
Yeah, agree. And I think that's what's lighting all the fires, obviously, in our society today.
Yeah, I think that is it. And like I said, I put it in my book, which, you know, I'm still begging for somebody to buy a copy when I finally get it out there. You know, but comedy has changed everything.
Yeah.
And you'll see it if you watch Netflix. And I'm sure Brett Hastings, who was never a Jimmy Walker fan, who's the president of Netflix, is saying, good, more reasons not to hire you. But if you look at the specials, you'll see tonight is Black Night. It's, you know, we're getting down. Tonight is local comedy night, local crazy comedy. Tonight is gay night. It's so focused. There's no such thing as tonight is comedy night.
Just comedy,
night.
Yeah.
That's all over.
Well, I'm glad you're doing this special. We're still here, debuting Tuesday, August 7th on Amazon, Comcast, DirecTV, AT&T, Dish, Spectrum, iTunes, Charter, Google Play. You're going to find it all over the place. The new album about the new special will be released on Friday, August 10th. And for more on Jimmy, you can visit JimmyWalkerDynamite.com. I'm looking forward to the special, but I think you've had some pretty interesting insights in all of this. And you're one of the rare people that that talks about it publicly, because I think we're all thinking it. I don't think we're all talking about it. Some pretty interesting insight.
Well, thanks for having me on, and I'm sure I'll get my minute and a half on your big show. Long conversation. Heard you for a minute on
I'm not
show.
Taking anything out of here. That was a great conversation. I appreciate it, Jimmy. Thanks again.
Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right, take care. All right, news is next on 720 WGN.